in your life is to know Jesus. And then to grow in that friendship, to grow in that relationship with him. Before I get into the word, let me tell you a little story. Johnny was feeling good, really good. It was the middle of July, and he was sitting on a beach chair with a cup of ice-cold water in his hands on the beach in Waikiki. There it is. And as he was watching his kids frolic in the surf, he turned to his wife, smiled, and said, "Life is good." And truly, life was good. The construction business he launched back in 2007 had really taken off. He started small. Just three guys. There was himself, his cousin Bob, and his good friend Leroy. At first, they tackled smaller projects, decks, porches, small additions. Leroy was a master electrician, and he was able to get a lot of work that way. The little group even did some painting and siding jobs. Well, things at first were shaky. It's not always easy to start your own business, that's for sure. And those first few months were tough. They all had left good-paying jobs to start out together. But by the end of the year, they had turned a profit. And even better than that, their name was getting out there. People now knew who they were. Eventually, the work was coming in more and more and more, and Johnny, as owner and CEO, had to hire more hands. So in the spring of 2008, just a little after a year that they had launched, he hired 10 people. And as the year went on, he had to hire more people. And finally, by the end of 2008, he was running a company with 24 employees. And things started to change. See, Johnny's dream had always been to build homes, and now he had the horses to do it. So, goodbye additions and decks and small siding jobs, and hello to homes. He had met an architect a few years earlier, and she had given him some designs he felt good about. So he and his fledgling yet growing company dived in head first. Now, here he was in July of 2011, sitting on that beach in Waikiki with his family. He had 57 people working for him, three teams who were simultaneously building houses in southern Mississippi, which was his home area. In the process, he was building a million-dollar company. Yes, life was good. While he was in Hawaii that July, those three teams were in action, working in about a two-mile radius of one another. The first team was led by a man named Ted. Ted was 45 years old. He had been in the business for about 25 years. A bit hard-headed, but very skilled and dependable. He was happy to be a part of Johnny's crew. They took good care of him financially, and the perks were good, better than any other company he had worked for in the past. Well, the foundation of that house had been laid, and his crew were working on building the rest of the house, and they were making pretty good time. He had been with this team for over a year now, and he knew their ability. They were hard workers, skilled and efficient. They actually made his job rather easy. Once again, he was thankful. Finally, after a number of months, the house was finished, a 3,000-square-foot Mississippi beauty. The owners were itching to get in. This made Ted very happy. Second team was led by a man named Robert. He, too, had been with the company for a little over a year and was the kind of guy you just wanted to be friends with. Have you ever been around a person like that? Yeah, you just want to be friends with that person. You just want to be where that person is. Well, this was Robert. He cared about his guys, and they knew it. He was a good listener, always quick with a joke, and he had the respect of everyone who worked with him. His team was building a house in the same neighborhood as Ted. He and Ted were friends, and whoever finished first was owed a dinner by the other. So Robert wanted his dinner badly. He loved food, and he loved when he didn't have to pay for it. Well, he and his team worked feverishly, but in the end, Ted won. And let's be honest, it wasn't that big of a deal to Robert, because at the end of the day, he was more concerned about his team and the product that they were putting out. And that product was very good. The owners came. They were very happy. Third team was led by a man named Thomas. He was a little bit newer, having been with the company only about 3 months. He was 41 years old, maybe the most skilled of all of the foremans. and incredibly smart. The team took a liking to him immediately, which made sense because he was a genuine guy. What you saw is what you got. So the house began going up. August came, and the house still had a ways to go, but it was looking good. And it was around this time that one of the workers, he was known as Big Jim, started feeling a little uneasy. It certainly looked right, but he felt the construction was a bit shabby. Big Jim was in his 50s, so he'd been there, done that. He'd seen an awful lot of things. Some corners were being cut. People were slacking. Unfortunately, he continued to go about his business the best he knew how, but didn't really say anything to his foreman. The house was finished right around the same time as the other teams, and it was gorgeous. It was 4,500 square feet, all the bells and whistles. It cost a cool $800,000. Does anybody have $800,000 just burning a hole in your pockets right now? Yeah, $800,000. I'm coming to you, Janine. She raised her hand. So if anybody needs help, we go see Janine. Praise the Lord. Anyways, a beautiful house. Beautiful house. The owners received their keys. They moved in. Sometime the next summer, the weather forecasters were predicting a severe hurricane to hit the area. Dangerous, they said. Take precaution, they said. The hurricane intensified and was predicted to hit right where those new homes were built. A mandatory evacuation was made, but the owners of the new homes decided to stick it out. Their homes were more than sturdy enough to handle the onslaught of the hurricane. Well, the storm hit. 120-mile-an-hour sustained winds gust up to 140. Rain, which made you wish for an ark. Well, the houses Ted and Robert built sustained some damage. Shingles were ripped off. Tree fell on a porch. Windows were busted out. They lost some siding. But otherwise, they were good. And the owners, a bit frightened and wondering why they were stupid enough to stay, they were okay. Thomas's house was different. The roof collapsed, and the house actually shifted on its foundation. The owners, of course, were lucky to be alive. Now listen, a hurricane can do those sorts of things. But Thomas knew better, and so did Johnny. Johnny summoned Thomas for a conversation. Now, Johnny was gracious. He let him stay on board in the company, even as one of the three foremen, but changes needed to be made, and they needed to be made yesterday. Thomas, of course, was greatly saddened and realized his bad, shoddy construction had hurt others. Ted and Robert, they were sitting on a beach together in Waikiki enjoying their families and all the good fortune they had had. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 3, please. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 15. We've been in this series now in the book of 1 Corinthians for a while. And as we move through it, there's lots of good stuff that the Lord has for it. So here it is, 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 15. We have it up on the overhead like we normally do. What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you've come to believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace of God, or by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise or expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as escaping through the flames. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for your word. There's a lot of good stuff in this. Give us wisdom as we tear it apart, Lord. Give us wisdom from your Spirit. And we would ask that this word that you want to bring to us would really become a part of who we are. Today, Lord, you would challenge us a bit. You would challenge us. You would speak to us very directly in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So the greater conversation here in these verses is on divisions, factions within the Corinthian church. We talked about this at length over the last couple of Sundays. This was a congregation that was heavily divided. We saw that they were divided in four ways. And so they built little cliques around their own way, and there was contention, there was strife, there was judgment, pride and arrogance was rampant, and they were ready to split into four different churches. That's how bad it had gotten. You better believe that it was breaking God's heart, all right? And so the four groups were at each other's throats. Paul had to speak to them about this in this letter. So that's the greater conversation right now that's going on in these verses. But for today, take a look again at verses 10 through 12, if you could. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise or expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. For if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, he goes on to say, you will be judged according to your work. Let's take a look at these three verses here for a second. Paul, in verse 10, calls himself a wise, I think other versions call it an expert builder. And as an expert builder, he laid a foundation in the city of Corinth. And that foundation, of course, was Jesus. So let's realize that Paul is not talking about building a church. He didn't come into Corinth and he gets some brick and mortar and cement and start building a church building. He's talking about spiritual things. The foundation is Jesus himself. And it makes sense because Paul planted that church in the city of Corinth, and he planted it on Jesus, his word, his truth, his sacrifice, his resurrection, his power, his anointing. Paul planted that church on Jesus. Now, someone else was building on it. And that someone else is probably the minister that we know as Apollos. We saw that earlier on here in verses 5 through 15. But it could have been other pastors, other teachers, other ministers as well, who were now working within this local church. And notice that those builders, those pastors, those elders, whatever title they had in those days, they could build in one of two ways: gold, silver, or costly slash precious stones, or they could build with wood, hay, and straw. So keep in mind here, we're not talking about building real homes. So these things, the gold, silver, and precious stones, the wood, hay, and straw, are representing something else. What are they? Well, Paul doesn't say exactly here, interestingly enough, but there has been a professor many, many years ago in the Assemblies of God named Professor Horton, and he gives us some really good understanding as to what Paul is saying. He says, gold, silver, and costly stones speak of building up the assembly of believers with scriptural truth that enables them to live lives that bring glory to God before the world around them. Wood, hay, and straw speak to inferior teaching coming from mere human wisdom or wrong motives, such as that which was bringing division and argumentation among the Corinthian believers. So the gold, silver, and precious stones, that's what you want to be building with. That's the very word of God, the very truth of God, the very wisdom and power of God. That's what Paul used to build the foundation, right? But the wood, hay, and straw, that's not good. That's the type of stuff that helps to cause division. Wisdom of the world, the philosophies, the religious understandings of the world. And when I say the world here, I'm talking about the world apart from Jesus. Okay? So how are you going to build? Are you going to build, in essence, is what Paul is saying, are you going to build with the gold, silver, and precious stones? Or are you going to build with the wood, hay, and straw, which will lead to the quarrels, the strife, the contention, the jealousy, the anger, and the pride? It seems, as you read through 1 Corinthians, that this church was building with a lot of wood, hay, and straw. That's not where you want to be. You want to be building with the gold, silver, and precious stones. So leaders, Pastor Josh, myself, every board member that is currently serving, every board member that has served, leaders over other ministries. I think of Pastor Caleb with children, Chris Piccarello with our young adults. I think of Ladies Prayer Fellowship. And so many other ministries, our life groups, leaders in this church. What are we building with? Foundation is Jesus. What are we building with? It's a great question, isn't it? But you know, there's a principle here, I think, that goes deeper than just leadership within a local congregation. I believe the principle applies to every believer sitting in here right now, every believer that is alive on the face of the planet. Remember, Jesus is the foundation of Emmanuel Assembly of God. By the way, don't ever follow a man. Don't ever follow a woman. You follow Jesus. Amen? Please do that. I tell you, I think we have, and I say we as the church in general, you know, the church capital C all across the world, we have shipwrecked our faith. We have made a mess of things because we build up and lift up or raise up, however you want to say it, a man or a woman leader instead of Jesus. And then you wonder why things come crumbling down, right? We don't trust in men. We don't trust in princes or kings. We trust in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, okay? So I want to encourage you that way. By the way, that's exactly what the Corinthians were doing. I follow Apollos. I follow Paul. I follow Peter. Well, we're the most spiritual and we follow Jesus. You guys are nothing, right? Three groups are elevating men in the midst of that whole thing. And you wonder why they're on the brink of destruction. You wonder why they're about ready to split into four different churches. And this was not a good split. There are churches that split because they're planting other churches. It's called mothering. You get to a certain size, there's somebody who's gifted to plant another church. Maybe you pray over the congregation, there's 20 or 30 other people who want to help that person plant. And you send them out with blessing. You send them out with prayer and anointing. That's not what's happening here in Corinth. They're splitting because they don't like each other. They're splitting because of pride. And what's the scripture say? Pride comes before destruction. A haughty spirit before the fall, right? So please, just as a little aside, do not follow men. And by the way, this is not Apollos' fault. It wasn't Peter's fault. It wasn't Paul's fault. They got caught in this mess, and Paul is correcting everybody left and right because they're going down the wrong road. Either way, Jesus is the foundation of Emmanuel Assembly of God, and he has been for over 100 years. And the goal is that he will still be the foundation of this church in another 100 years if Jesus doesn't come back yet. Okay? But he's also the foundation of our lives. He's the foundation of our families. He's the foundation of our marriages for those of us who are married. So here's a question for all of us. Yeah, for Pastor Josh, for myself, for the leadership. But let's expand it. How are you building your life as a follower of Jesus? How are you building your life as a married couple? How are you building your marriage in that area? How are you building your family? The foundation is there. How are we building? I think that these are very important questions to ask ourselves. Very important questions. And I say that not to bring condemnation, because we got to be careful that we don't start looking at ourselves so often and say, oh my goodness, I blow it here. I'm no good there. I'm terrible in this area. The next thing you know, you start walking around almost self-condemned. Anybody ever been there before? Just this condemnation? Yeah, it ain't fun, is it? No. We just heard today during the tongue and the interpretation that we have been forgiven. Our guilt is washed away. So don't walk around in this pseudo guilt with this condemnation. The Bible says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay? So I'm not telling you this to bring you to a point where all of a sudden it's like your back is broken again. And you have all these burdens on you, right? Now, Jesus set us free. He doesn't want us to walk around like this. He says to cast our burdens upon him. Okay? And I'm not saying this either to create some kind of new law for yourself. Did you ever notice that if you create little laws, I've got to do this, I've got to be this, most of the time, or at least sometimes, you don't keep those laws? Do you ever find yourself falling short of what you even want to do? Yeah. It's the same thing with the law of Moses. The law of Moses couldn't save us. Had no shot at saving us because we couldn't live up to it. So I'm not asking you to create your own little laws that you keep beating your head against and say, oh, I wish I was better. I wish I was better. Paul, come on now. Paul, the great apostle, looked at himself and said that there is nothing good that lives in me that is my flesh or sinful nature. What he means there is, apart from Jesus, I ain't got nothing. So start there. Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't got nothing. Now, see, nobody wanted to do it, but go ahead, do it. Come on, it'll be liberating. You ain't got nothing. All right, I'm having a little bit of fun with that. And don't really mean it, okay, especially you spouses. You don't want to go down that road. Yeah, you ain't got nothing. I've known that for 30 years now, I tell you. That's not a good place to be. The point is that you don't want to go down the road of self-condemnation. You don't want to make these little laws for yourself. But at the same time, these are questions that are very important for us to ask every now and then. I like to think of it as taking a little inventory. An inventory of where you are. God, I want to build with the gold, the silver, and the precious stones. Am I doing that? Show me. Show me. Like King David said, search me, O God. See if there's any wicked or hurtful way within me and help me to walk in the way everlasting. In other words, help me to walk in the way you would have me walk, Jesus. How are we building our lives? Make it personal. How are you building your life on the foundation that is Jesus? Not only is it a question we should ask of ourselves every now and then, it's a very important question. And I suppose there's a few reasons as to why that is true, but Paul gives us one very big reason why we want to make sure we're building with gold, silver, and precious stones and not the other stuff. And that is because our work will be tested. Take a look at verses 12 through 15 again here in 1 Corinthians 3. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is because the day will bring it to light. It'll be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. This is some of the harder language that you can run into when you're reading through the scriptures. There is a phrase that we just read, and that phrase was the day. Okay? And in this context, the day is referring to, in all probability, what Paul calls the judgment seat of Christ. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. This is another letter that Paul wrote to Corinth. He says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." So you can see where those two scriptures tie together. So here's the big old question. What's the judgment seat of Christ? Well, as of the writing of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, and even still today, as of the reading here in 2018 of these two letters. This is a future event. In other words, it hasn't happened yet. It hadn't happened in Paul's day. It still hasn't happened in our day. It is something that is going to take place in the future, and it will take place after Jesus comes back. And everything that has to happen during those days, then the judgment seat of Christ will come to the forefront. And you better believe that the judgment seat of Christ will bring judgment, hence the term. But it's not a judgment for all peoples. It's simply a judgment for believers. You see, the judgment seat of Christ is a judgment that every one of us, if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Non-believers have a different judgment. It's called the white throne judgment. You do not want to be a part of the white throne judgment. The white throne judgment is for non-believers, and basically that is the final nail in the coffin. If you're at the white throne judgment, that means you will not be with God for all eternity, but you will be separated from him. Paul even uses the term destruction there. So if you go to the white throne judgment, it's all over. Weeping and gnashing of teeth, not where you want to be. So you actually want to be before the judgment seat of Christ, because the judgment seat of Christ is for believers, which means it's not to judge you for salvation. You're not going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and Jesus is going to take a look at you and say, I just don't remember. Right? He's not going to do that. He's not going to say, Peter, get over here. I'm getting a little bit tired. Can you open up that book? It's from 2018, Eastern Pennsylvania. We got pretty specific, Peter. Do you remember that? Jesus isn't going to sit up there and wonder about whether you should be before this judgment. It is for believers, but it's not whether you're going to go to heaven or hell. That's already been decided. The moment you put your faith in Jesus as your Lord, all of your sins were forgiven. And now you've gone from hell to heaven, darkness to light, separation to family. Anybody happy about the cross of Jesus? Yeah. That's the cross of Christ. You belong to him. The Holy Spirit is a guarantee of your inheritance. Praise God. Okay? So then what is the judgment of Christ, or judgment seat of Christ for? If it's not for heaven, hell, what's it for? Well, it's a judgment for the work that we did or did not do as believers. In other words, it's a judgment as to how we lived our lives. Did we build with gold, silver, precious stones, or did we build with wood, hay, and straw? That's what the judgment is. One brother in Christ, I've mentioned him before, David Guzik, says it like this. The fire, and by the way, the fire is a metaphor here for judgment, okay? The fire will test each one's work. When our work is tested by God, it will be revealed for what kind of work it was. Just as fire will destroy wood, hay, and straw, but not gold, silver, and precious stones, so the work of some will be revealed as nothing on that day. Paul referred to this great testing in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. When our work is tested before the Lord, we will be rewarded according to what remains. Okay? This is why it's a big deal every now and then to get before the Lord and say, Lord, how am I building? How am I living my life? Not so that you go to heaven. You're saved by grace through faith alone. That's it. But how am I building now on the foundation of Jesus? If we build in certain areas with wood, hay, and straw, it's almost like that's going to be burned up. It's going to be shown to be ineffective, worldly, apart from Jesus. But if we're building our lives and our churches and our families and our marriages and our friendships, and even if you have the opportunity in your place of employment, if we're building with the good stuff, the gold, the silver, the precious stones, We're building with the Word of God, the truth of who Jesus is, the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. If we're building like that, you will be rewarded. Now, we don't really know exactly what the reward is, but it is something that is above and beyond salvation. Oh, that Emmanuel Assembly of God would live our lives in such a way to take a hold of that reward. Anybody want that reward? Yeah. I do too. Why would we not? It's going to be better than anything you could ever desire on earth. Even for you suffering Eagles fans, I'm telling you. See. I don't know if you've noticed this, but I could be talking, all right? I'll be talking, all this kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden I get a little smirk in my face. If you ever notice a smirk in my face, something is probably coming that is somewhat attains to this, but doesn't really. You might want to look to the return of Jesus more than to a Super Bowl win for you Eagles fans. I think that's my point. Anyway, that's it. Preach it. Who said preach it? Yeah. I'm a New York Giants fan. I don't have a whole lot to say about this year. But at the end of the day, I got four. See? Four. That's it. My brother's in the back. Four. Right there. Now, we're not talking about you. I'll give the Steelers, because they've been recent. The Cowboys haven't done anything since like John the Baptist's age at this point. That's what we're talking about. Thank you. Anyway, I have totally gone off the track. We are crashing. We are burning. But hey, listen. We're not those who are beaten down. We'll get back up, right? That's what we're going to do. Anyway. We want to live our lives for that reward, right? Seriously, we do. We want that reward, whatever it is. Our salvation is secure in Christ. But we want to live our lives that would bring glory to Him, and we want to live our lives in such a way that we receive that reward, whatever it might be. So, let's finish it up here today. What are you and I building on the foundation of Jesus Christ? Are we indeed building in such a way, are we building with materials, quote unquote, that will last and will receive that reward? Or are we building with materials that will be burned up? We'll be saved, but what we did will be shown as nothing. That's a serious question. It's a very important question, not only for us as individuals, but what kind of legacy are we leaving for those behind us? Our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids. I mentioned how Jesus has been the foundation of this church for 100 years. And we want Jesus to be the foundation of this church for the next 100 years, unless Jesus comes back first. What legacy are we leaving for the next 100 years? Are we building with the ways of the world? Are we building with pride and selfishness? Are we building with philosophies that are anti-Christ? And therefore, we're making a mess of our own homes. We're making a mess of our own lives. There's quarreling. There's jealousy. There's envy. There's strife. Is that how we're building? Or are we building with the good stuff, the stuff that lasts? God's word, His wisdom, His power, His truth. Maybe the best way to simplify this whole thing is, are we living our lives according to the Holy Spirit or according to the flesh or our sinful nature? And I got to look myself in the mirror every once in a while too and say, Lord, take an inventory. And if He points something out, you ever have the finger of God just kind of point at you? That right there. Don't sweat it. Don't go into this woe is me condemnation thing. Just say, you know what, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I sinned there. It's a wrong motive. It's a wrong attitude. God loves you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. How are we building? Sharon, can you come on up to the piano, please? If you have any books or papers, put them on the floor, you know, maybe at the bottom of your feet or seat next to you if it's open. I want to spend some time here this morning seeking His face. Can we stand together, please? I like to put kind of feet to our faith, is how I say it. If there's anyone here today, well, let me just ask the question. How many of you would say, I want to live my life for that reward? I want to build with the gold, silver, and precious stones. Raise your hands if that's you. Okay. Well, it is very nice for me to see just about every hand raised. Praise God. It's a good thing. Here's what I'd like to do. I know we all raised our hands, but come on out of your seats and just come up to the altars here. Just kind of pack in a little bit. I want to spend some time seeking his face. I want this to be a time where maybe God does a little inventory in you. Maybe there's something he needs to point the finger at and say, you know what? That's wood. That's hay. Let's change it around. A way of living, a way of thinking, whatever it is, go into this remembering that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So just spend a couple of moments sort of meditating upon and thinking about these words and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Let's just take a second, raise our hands up to the Lord. Just begin to praise him in your own words. The scriptures say that he inhabits the praises of his people. Let's go ahead and begin to praise him right now. Lord, we thank you. We praise you, Heavenly Father. Father, with our hands raised high, we say to you here this morning that our heart is for the gold, silver, and precious stones, not the wood, hay, and straw. So, Father, we pray that you would forgive us and deliver us from building with the ways of this world, the philosophies of man, the wisdom of this age. Lord, the wisdom of this age pales in comparison to you and your wisdom. Deliver us, Father, from lies that we have believed, ways of living that we thought have been correct but have not been. And Lord, instead, help us to now build our lives more and more and more than ever before on your word, on your truth, on the wisdom of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and rise up within us, not just here this morning, but tomorrow as well. Lord, we crave your presence. We crave your Spirit. We crave your wisdom and understanding. And we pray right now, Father, for our marriages. We pray for our families, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, parents and grandparents. We pray for the church as a whole, Father. You are our foundation. And may the house that we are building here at Emmanuel Assembly of God just be awesome. May it be gold, silver, and precious stones, and may it give glory to your name. May we give glory to your name, and may it be a place where the hurting and the downtrodden can find rest. May it be a place where people can find Jesus because they see Jesus in us. May it be a place where the winds blow and the rains come, but the house stays strong. Help us to walk in the way everlasting. Help us to walk in the ways of Jesus. I think what I'd like to do here today is to sort of dismiss in silence. I do that every once in a while. You know, once you get out into the foyer, you know, that's fine, but I'd like you to go in silence today, just sort of pondering some of this. And then the worship team meeting will be in the back here, probably in about 10 minutes, get everything situated. But go in the power and the presence and the wisdom of God, amen? And may his presence continually go before you. Lord bless you. Have a wonderful day.